traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Well, folks, I have been blown away by the work of our next guest. His name is William Deere. He believes O.J. is innocent. He's written a book, O.J. is Innocent, and I Can Prove It. He has another suspect in mind, and his documentary is very, very compelling. William Deere, a retired police officer, an investigator, and our guest. How are you, sir? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing just fine, sir.
Well, look, I'm still kind of processing everything that you presented in your book. So do me a favor. Make the case. O.J. Simpson is innocent.
There's no doubt in my mind. I've been doing this. I've been inducted in the Police Officers Hall of Fame as a private investigator. I did the Kennedy assassination. I hold the world's record for largest number of people arrested and convicted in the history of the United States for a single murder. And O.J. is my primary. I worked this case over 30 years ago on my own nickel, by the way. When this happened, one of my staff members and I flew out. I climbed over the back gate. I sat at the front door of Nicole's house, by her front door in the picture window to the right, so I knew that whoever committed the murder, she had to have known exactly who it was. But then, you know, here it is 30 years later, O.J. passes away. In fact, I had been told about 2 months ago that O.J. had prostate cancer, but I wasn't aware that it was that bad, because prostate cancer in a lot of cases can be completely fixed and overcome after a period of treatments. So, but he died unexpectedly for me, because I was going to be going out there, and I was hoping for the 30-year anniversary that we could sit down and talk. I know he knows that I've been working on this thing for a long period of time. I know that I put together the book, O.J. is Innocent, I Can Prove It, a couple years ago. Here we have a man who's, I promise you, he's really a personable person. Maybe he's irate a little bit on the golf course, but I promise.
Okay, O.J., right, let's skip him for a second. Who do you think did it?
Well, in my mind, I've come up with Jason Lamar Simpson, O.J.'s son from his first marriage. I know that Jason was given an airtight alibi when the murders occurred, that he was cooking in front of 200 people. Alan Ladd Jackson, who actually owned Jackson's restaurant at 8908 Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills. But then later, since that time, he has rescinded his statement that he gave Jason an airtight alibi, because he said 175 to 200 people were there, and I'm able to prove there was only 30 to 35. Jason left early. He was mad because Nicole had not shown up. He had prepared dinner for 13 people. We know that Jason was actually, listen to this one, he was on probation at the time of the murders for attempting to use a knife against his former employer, Paul Goldberg. And Paul told me straight out, he said, I thought he was going to kill me. And we know that he also attacked another girlfriend, where he cut off all her hair. Another girlfriend, he picked her up and threw her into a tub that had no water in it. Another one at his birthday spoke to another of his girlfriends, and they got angry. And so,
Mr. Deere, let me jump in. Just a couple of things.
Okay.
How old was Jason Simpson back then?
He was 25 years old. He was 5'11", 235 pounds.
What kind of problems did he have, if any? Did he have psychiatric issues? I think you found some.
Yes, we did. He'd been in a psychiatric unit. He suffered from rage disorder. He was taking a medicine called Depakote to control his rage disorder. 2 months prior to that, he checked into Cedar Sinai Hospital, saying that he was out of medication and about to rage. I was also given the opportunity to, he put a box after the murders into public storage in Los Angeles. When we got access to the box, in it we found his diaries. We found the jacket that he had been wearing when he made that presentation after his father was found not guilty. We found 3 diaries, the year of the knife for me. I cut away my problems with a knife. Nobody touches my family. And then in addition to that, his dog, that it was his ashes of his dog. And we found pictures in there where he'd been in bed with his dog wearing that knit cap that was found at the crime scene as far as we're concerned, and the hair from the dog enveloped into the cap that he was wearing.
All right, just to establish, I want to make sure everybody understands. He was cooking at that restaurant called Jackson's. This is Jason Simpson. And the plan was for OJ and the kids and Nicole and everybody to come over to that restaurant after the recital to have a meal that he prepared, because he was a chef. He was like an up-and-coming chef, and he was very happy and excited. That was canceled. Who canceled it?
Nobody canceled it. That's the problem that we have here. We know that Jason did a lot of drugs. We know he did alcohol. We know he suffered manic depression. When he did that presentation on that Sunday, it was the fact that he was expecting he and his father. It had been the first time that he could show his talents, not as a football player, but as a chef. The owner was off that Sunday and put Jason in charge. He normally is a sous chef, but on that particular night, he was the acting chef. And so he had prepared all this, made it look good. She never called him, never said anything about canceling, and was completely embarrassed. So in our mind, we know that he took Jennifer Green, who came to pick him up in his Jeep, took him and dropped her off, then went over to Nicole's and confronted Nicole, and that's where the murder occurred.
All right. Now, OJ, as we know, I mean, there were blood droplets in his car. There should have been more blood. If he were the killer, you point that out, or a lot of people have pointed out. But, I mean, there is the bloody glove. There's the Bruno Mali footprints. You believe what? How do you account for all that?
There's no doubt in my mind that OJ Simpson was at the crime scene, but after the murders. He did not know that it occurred. I have an eyewitness placing Jason and OJ at the crime scene after the murders. And he was a very reliable witness. We polygraphed him twice. He passed with flying colors. He's actually an investigator. We know that Jason, you know, when you look at all the evidence, knowing that he was suffering from drugs, he was, you know, Scott stood up for this. He went over the current. I do not believe that he went over the killer. I think he went over to confront her. They got in confrontation. The two children were upstairs. And as a result, she slapped him. You don't slap him. He carries a boot knife. And in the bottom of this box that we were able to get out of the storage facility was approximately a 5-inch. It was a replica of a Gerber Mark V designed for purpose of cut to kill. The top had been removed. And
Mr. Deere, let me jump in for a second. Now, why would OJ have gone over to the scene? Okay, this, according to you, Jason commits the murder. Mm-hmm. I take it that he leaves. And well, why would OJ have gone there?
Because of the fact that we know that OJ visiting when he was in his psychiatric unit, he depended on his dad. He also suffers the situation of he doesn't remember exactly what he had done. I think he called his dad. His dad met him at the intersection of Bundy and San Vicente. They parked the car. Jason gets into OJ's Bronco. They drive over there, make a right-hand turn off of Bundy onto Dorothy, pull into the alley, shut off the lights. We have a witness to that effect. It's never been brought out before. And pulled up behind. That's when I think OJ did not realize or think in his mind that Jason had really done what he said he did on the phone. And so as a result of that, he was worried about his two other children, Justin and Sydney. They were supposed to have a sleepover that night. OJ did not know that it had been canceled and that it was just the two kids upstairs, Justin and Sydney. So he had no knowledge. And he
now, sir, let me just jump in one other time. Like, it's interesting because not everybody had a cell phone back then, right? Obviously, and right. We don't have cell phone towers. And you, as a private investigator, you can't subpoena telephone records or any of that stuff. But were the authorities ever able to determine if Jason called OJ that night? I mean, that would seem like a basic. And actually, if you don't mind, OJ's son, Jason, was never actually interviewed by police.
Never.
In fact, and he lawyered up right away. OJ was talking more than his son, right?
Right. 2 days after the murders, OJ hired Carl Jones, a top criminal lawyer, to represent his son. Why would he have done that? That's number one. Number two is that we know that the knife belonged to Jason. We know that he did not. I think what happened in that mind was that when he got in touch with his dad. They went over there and saw it, actually what was happening. Because when he went inside, O.J. had gotten out from the driver's seat, came around the back, and put on the gloves and walked into the back of Nicole's. In about 10 to 15 minutes, he comes out, but Jason is now behind the wheel, and the engine's still running. At this point, O.J. comes out. He's wearing boxer shorts, not his clothes. They were rolled up into his arm, and so when he opened the door with his right, he climbs in, and that's why a little bit of blood is attracted to the console.
Now, sir, let me just jump in again. Tell us a little bit more how you know, and I know the answer to this, but tell us a little bit more how you know about Jason Simpson's feelings about the dinner that night and some of the other things. You actually, you know, you heard these things directly from Jason Simpson, in a way.
I heard him from a person that dated him, that knew him very well, that had not dated him longer. They stayed in touch. She was able to give me information.
But I'm talking about there's a videotape deposition where he says stuff.
Yes. You know, I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. I'm driving, trying to do this.
Yeah. There is a deposition. He was deposed, I guess, by Daniel Petrocelli during the civil suit, right?
Yeah, and Daniel, his right-hand man, get this one, his right-hand assistant to Daniel Petrocelli has said, you know, if Jason didn't have an airtight alibi that night, I would have considered him the suspect. Well, the truth is he didn't have an alibi because Alan Ladd Jackson rescinded his alibi, but that was after a period of years. So when he did the deposition, he becomes very arrogant, which he does. You know, he's not a person that you want to be around very long with because he can become an individual that you become frightened with.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This can be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
You know, it's interesting. Back then, you really had to rely on what people said a lot more than we do today. I mean, there are cameras everywhere, right? And we get it down, and you see in investigations now huge discrepancies between what people say and what cameras reveal. And this is fascinating. Now, are you getting inquiries from others? I mean, OJ died, we found out. I've always been interested in this case, but it's obviously rekindled interest. What do you think could happen next? Is there any momentum now to reevaluate, reinvestigate?
Well, I had intended on doing a 30-year anniversary on this and bringing out a great deal of things that I'm not telling you right now. A prime example is that Robert Kardashian, which was the closest friend to OJ, made a statement to somebody who related to me, said, if you ever see Bill Deere, please tell him that he got it right, that OJ did not commit the murder that Jason did. Well, that came directly from his best friend, Robert Kardashian, who's now deceased.
Well, that's something. That is something. All right, so you've got a big plan for the 30th anniversary. There's stuff. There's even more evidence that you're not revealing now.
I wish I could, but I'm going to keep that.
I understand. So, I mean, if your theory is correct, or let's just go with the O.J. Simpson is innocent for a moment, What does it say about OJ? And that he would take this for someone else. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, he said in a Sports Illustrated article when Jason was about 10 that I may have to quit football because my son, he's not able to be controlled. And he was concerned and worried at that time. Well, it never got any better. Jason was arrested for drugs and alcohol abuse, kicked out of college. I mean, OJ had nothing but trouble with him for a long period of time. And I think that OJ blamed himself. People can say what they want. I know OJ because I've gone through films. I've looked at him. I've studied it. So I know that he wasn't the villain that, like this Kimmel from one of the networks last night, called him despicable. That's not true. He's not despicable. He protected his son as a result of all the things that happened. He stood by his son no matter what, knowing that he felt responsible.
Wow. Well, let me just one more thing. Is it possible that if the government starts looking at this and they'll have access to more material than you could have, although you got a lot? Actually, hold that thought. You actually got his diaries. That's pretty wild. And I noticed, though, in the book, you didn't quote the diaries extensively. Is there a legal reason why you didn't?
No, because of the fact that I was able to get his psychiatric records, his hospital records and all like that. And his three attempted suicides. I'm not afraid of that. It's just that there were certain excerpts I wanted to release and some I did not want to release at this time. But in one of the aspects, he says, it's the year of the knife for me. I cut away my problems with the knife. There was a piece of paper that was found in his trash. You know, we do gather people's trash. It gives you a great deal of evidence from time to time. It was wadded up. It was wet. But when you rolled it out, he talks about himself being two people. I'm a Dr. Jekyll. I'm a Mr. Hyde. When you see it and you realize he's taking a pencil and just over and over and over with his right hand, apparently, and you can't read it, but when we were able to take it apart, it just scared you to death that this man actually believed that he could be two people.
Wow. You know, I will say this. I mean, look, obviously he has not been arrested in connection to this case. He's never been charged or anything like that in connection to this case. I happen to have heard a podcast with him. He's a chef, and I have to tell you, he just sounded like a very gentle guy. I know that's not, doesn't mean anything. No, I mean, look, you said yeah. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I forgot right there. So, and he hasn't been in significant trouble, as far as I can see, in the decades since, right?
No, we did a study with one of the top psychologists who do a performer test on somebody such as him, and they said he would do it again. But he hasn't done it because he got married. From what I've been told, I've been given information directly. It's not a happy marriage, but it's one that he dreams constantly overnight. Relayed to me the things that he said and in his dreams it came out. So I think he knows that people are looking at him. I think he feels responsibility of what he's done to his poor dad. And he's trying to hold on. I don't know whether he's taking Depakote still, but I would imagine that he is because you don't get off of that overnight.
And you don't think there's any chance you got this wrong? You're totally convinced?
I believe it or not, I've been doing this nearly 57 years. And as far as I'm concerned, I got it right.
All right. Well, William Deere, we appreciate your time. Your book is available on Amazon right now, and you can find the documentary online. It is it's amazing. Now, we have to say that these are, you know, your allegations, and we're not endorsing those allegations. I think you're a very interesting man, and you've got obvious expertise. Let's see here. I want to make sure we got the book cover right here. OJ is innocent, and I can prove it. The Shocking Truth About the Murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman by William Deere. Two more quick things. Have you ever talked to the Goldmans?
No, I have not. I have no desire to talk to him because I know too much about Ron Goldman.
And have they ever reached out? Has Jason, through lawyers or anything, ever said, hey, knock it off. Don't be out there saying this stuff.
I think about 28 years ago, I got a letter that deceased, but I'm still doing it. And 28 years later, if he wants to sue me, let him sue me, because if he sues me, I have the right to take his deposition. And I have the answers into the questions that I know that will certainly vindicate anything as far as what they might accuse me of.
Okay. William Deere, we appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.